Hello everyone, it's Chris Hall here from Charity Digital, the organisation that helps other charities be more digital. Today, we have a special podcast for you. In March, we had over 400 charity professionals join us at Olympia London for a day of learning, knowledge sharing and connecting. We managed to record all of the 22 sessions from the day, and we'll be releasing them as bonus podcasts throughout the series to help share some of the amazing conversations we were having on the day. If you want to keep up to date with all our upcoming podcasts and events, like and subscribe the podcast through your usual podcast provider and sign up for Charity Digital updates at charitydigital.org.uk. Enjoy the pod.
Welcome to the infamous pre-lunch slot. Thank you for being here. I hope you're full of sugar and coffee and ready to listen to a fantastic session. We have a really, really great panel here to talk about how to really integrate digital into your brand strategy. And I'm going to let them introduce themselves briefly, but to start with, Kelly Stewart.
Hi, I'm Kelly Stewart. I'm the Head of Communications and Marketing at the Sick Children's Trust. I've worked in the charity sector for about 16 years in various different comms and marketing roles, and most recently with the Sick Children's Trust. We're sort of a small to medium-sized charity, and I'd say we're at the kind of start of a journey at the moment, which hopefully I'll be able to share some of that with you, in terms of really getting digital at the heart of our brand.
Fantastic. And Zora?
So I'm Zora Vermani. I'm the brand marketing lead at Parkinson's UK, so a slightly larger charity. Likewise, I've worked in the charity sector for a very long time. I won't say how many years, but basically my whole career, always specialising in brand and marketing. I'll pass on. I won't give any spoilers for what I was about to say.
And Colette.
So I'm Colette Philip-Keane. I now run a brand and strategy consultancy called Brand By Me. We're very small, there's just five of us. And we specialise in brands that drive social change and positive business impact, which means we work with a lot of charities. Not exclusively, but we do work with a lot of charities. In my previous life, I ran brand and digital teams at Barnardo's and then World Animal Protection, a global animal charity. So I've got experience on both sides of what it takes to practically integrate brand and digital, and maybe some of the challenges and opportunities in doing so.
First of all, I'd like to apologise because we haven't been able to source a white middle-aged man for our panel. Therefore, it doesn't provide the sort of diversity that we strive for, but we'll muddle through. Let me start, actually, when do you start thinking about digital when you're defining your brand strategy? Is it once you've got the basics? Is it a different strand? I mean, Colette, do you want to talk about your experience?
Yeah, I actually think it's really important that you start thinking about it at every stage of developing your brand strategy, but I guess you think about it in different ways. So right from when you're starting to kind of audit, the landscape and the market, really understanding and taking into account your digital landscape and what that looks like is really important. Then from there, when you start maybe developing and scoping your core brand principles, I think at that point it is important to do some of the thinking, but maybe you start by doing the thinking at an organisational level, but then factoring in, again, what the digital opportunity is and maybe the ambition at that point. Yeah. And then as you start to sort of define your strategy, so looking at where you're going to play, how you're going to win, all those key strategic questions, at that point, I think it's important to look at look at your digital opportunity, but also start to identify what are some of the quick wins where you can really start to test your brand and how it's going to work, and maybe look at your immediate priorities. And that's where I think it's really important again. So I think at every stage you sort of integrate digital. I think quite often people do one of two things. They either start by doing the brand, get it all perfect till it's almost finished, and then go, ta-da, digital team, here's how you implement it. Or we start looking at digital execution before we've even, sort of mapped out what this brand is going to be or how it's going to work. And I think either of those two things can sort of send you in a wrong path, if that makes sense.
And Kelly, you say you're at the beginning of that journey.
Yeah.
Have you already made any of these mistakes?
So in this current situation, no, thankfully. I have to say, when you said about doing the brand and then going to digital, here you go. I've done that. I've definitely done that. But I think what we've just done is really started to look at our brand. So I came into the role about 12 months ago, and a big part of my role has been to develop the brand, but also to develop our digital channels, and in particular our website. And so we've been lucky in that way, because we've been able to look at, okay, this is where we want to get to, this is where we want to go, how are we going to do that across all channels and make the brand work across all channels. I think the other thing about quick wins is so true. Think about, are there some simple things that you can implement that you know, and also testing. You're going to probably hear me say that word quite a few times today, but it's really important, and I think especially for a small charity, it's something that we've been able to do. It's so that you can know what works for you and put your time and effort into that if you've got limited resources, which I know a lot of small charities do.
And Zora, you came from a slightly different perspective, because you were in, talking about Parkinson's, established charity, very strong brand already in IRL, as the kids say. How do you then take that? Do you take that and just put it online? How does that work?
So I think this is such an interesting topic, because I was just saying to Colette before we walked on that actually I came here and I thought, I've got a brand and marketing background, what do I know about digital? But actually the way that I think about brand is very much, your brand is what your corporate strategy is. That's the bottom line. Your brand strategy, your corporate strategy are always working hand in hand. Digital for me is kind of a way on when you look at your brand strategy, when you look at your corporate strategy, the digital opportunity is actually, how do you make that real? What's the digital opportunity to make your charity do what it needs to do in the best way possible? So for me, though, obviously, there's really practical stuff we can do from a kind of brand point of view, a digital point of view, bringing it together. You've got the tactical, you've got the practical, let's make sure all of our touch points feel like us, sound like us. What's the kind of flex that we need, depending on what channel that we're on? So the very tactical, practical is almost like quite easy to do. There's a way in development, actually, that you can bring in digital experts. I worked very closely with our digital experts when we were refreshing our brand. Let's make sure that whatever that brand visually is and what it sounds like works for all the channels that we have. But I think the other win that I think we're all very aware of is digital is a great execution of your brand, but actually it's a great way to just make your charity purpose come to life.
Yeah.
And so as the brand strategist, the whole brand strategy is based on what does the organisation fundamentally need to do. And based on that, that's where we look at the digital opportunity.
So it's really embedded entirely. It's not a separate strategy.
I would say so. I mean, we're really lucky because we also have a digital transformation. We've got an excellent digital transformation director, I think she is. Julie Dodd, which some of you probably know, and she has been brilliant in terms of turning the organisation around and really looking at the digital opportunity across everything we do. So I think that is great for us. But again, as a brand person, I would never be thinking, brand just sits over here and corporate strategy is over there and digital strategy is over here. For me, it's all coming into one corporate strategy.
Just picking up something Kelly said, I mean, that sounds amazing. If you have the staff and if you have a digital, transformation person. Colette, from your perspective, what can a small charity that doesn't necessarily have the resources to go and get a consultant or to have a full-on digital transformation project, but who's dealing with people for whom it would make a difference to be on digital channels, what can they do?
Well, I think it was a really good panel in here. I don't know if you were in here before this, where they spoke to that. And actually, I think there's a couple of things. Just because you're small, it doesn't mean you can't be strategic is the first thing. And I think having a really simple framework that sort of articulates your brand, that draws from your organisational strategy and then sets out your digital opportunity. Yes. Somebody talked on the panel here about having just some core digital principles. I think that applies even if you're small, because having that clear vision and some core principles that you're going to embody no matter what you do is really important. And then from there, what can you do? Well, I think there's a couple of things. One is then identify, we've called it quick wins, and that's around looking at actually where are some areas where it's going to make a real difference, particularly if you're a small charity, for your beneficiaries, for your users. What's going to be a quick win that you can do based on delivering that vision? What's something you can really try and test? And I think that works really well. I think the other thing is you know, working out how you can benefit from free resources, at both in terms of, you know, resources and tools, but also in terms of people. So looking at people who are passionate in the digital space, maybe people that you have volunteering, someone said, in other capacities that actually are involved in your strategy and have digital as their day job, working with them. What I wouldn't recommend is relying on one volunteer to deliver everything that you've got to do digitally, because inevitably that person's a volunteer, they get busy, and then you're left with nothing. But creating kind of, someone called it a community of interest. Yeah. And I think I love the idea of creating like a digital tribe of people connected to your charity that can really help you do stuff, and identifying a regular program of quick wins that sort of ladder up to your strategy, looking at what you can with, you know, the resources that you've got. And I think that's all you can do. Yeah. I run a small consultancy, so we really don't have money to engage agencies or, like, you know, have big budgets on things, but we have been on a digital overhaul ourselves, and that's exactly what we did. And I think it really works, as long as you sort of keep your overarching, you do have a clear and overarching strategy that you work to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that your experience, Kelly?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other really key thing is getting your board of trustees and your senior managers on board. If you can at least have some kind of framework that you can work towards, and start to put some, you know, things in place to help you get digital at the heart of what you're doing, you really need to get your board of trustees on board, because hopefully they'll see the value in that and actually will give you a little bit of money, even if it's just a little bit. Yeah. And one thing that I found was having a trustee who was a marketing expert who could really advocate for what I was trying to do, not in my current role, but in a previous role. And that helped unbelievably. Because even if they're not going to give you big pots of money, at least they'll be able to understand what you're trying to achieve. And I think that's really important for small charities as well.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because, again, when you're going to board of trustees, they're not, you know, going in and saying, you know, this is our digital strategy here. Same with brand. I wouldn't go in and say, you know, this is my brand strategy over here. You're going in saying, this is like a line of work that we have to do to get to that corporate ambition. Yeah. And that's what trustees are actually ultimately driven by.
Yeah, totally.
The other thing, actually, a really brilliant point from Kelly around engaging your trustees, is because actually they have access to networks and pools of things. And so that's how one of my clients was a very, very small agency, a very small and local charity, was able to leverage a big pocket of funding unexpectedly to pay for both a brand and digital overhaul. And it was because of one of their trustees that enabled them and helped them make that application. So you don't know. So I think it's really important to engage that in terms of leveraging their authority, reach and networks to help you in this challenge.
And presumably as you build or expand your board of trustees, something to keep in mind as well.
That did you, and someone said it, I think you said it, a marketing trustee, I think, is very good. In the last panel, they said about having a digital trustee with a very clear remit. I think it's useful if your digital trustee has a wider sense of both the brand opportunity and also a wider sense of marketing too. Yeah. But I definitely agree with that. That expertise is really good in terms of creating that buy-in across the board as well with peers.
I want to go back to something that Kelly said at the beginning about testing and experimenting, and you mentioned it as well. I think there's a sense, especially if you're not very familiar with digital strategies, that you need to have it all locked down and ready and approved by the Board of Trustees before you press the button and it all goes live. But it sounds like that's not what you're doing.
No, not at all. I think that digital gives us such a really good, simple and cheap opportunity to test out messaging. If you're partway through the work of even looking at who your target audience is, you can test out different messages on your audience. One of the things that we've been doing is testing different channels for our different audiences, and it's proving to be so successful. I was lucky. I was able to recruit a person to help me with this, which I know not everyone is able to do. Even if you're in the fundraising team, for example, and you don't have digital people within your organisation, you can test out different messaging. You know, we've really, really nailed down some things about, we know for our audience, who are primarily parents, giving them straight fundraising asks on social media doesn't work, and it's simple, so we're not going to put our time and effort into that. But what we have done is been much more creative about sharing stories about families that we've helped, and so we know that that works really well. And then you can get some of your kind of other messages in there with that, and we've done loads of testing on that, and it's just proven really successful for us in terms of the engagement that we've had has gone through the roof, which has been really good, and really focused on the channels that we know work for us. Facebook for us, in terms of social media, is the one. We know it's the one. So we're putting all of our time and effort into that. We've only got one person who really focuses on that as their job. So actually, rather than spread them too thin and trying to do too much, let's focus on what we know what works. And that has proven to work really well for us.
And Zora, from a Parkinson's UK perspective, do you find, first of all, about the testing and experimenting, are you still able to have that agility to try new things? And then it'll be interesting to talk about the different audiences as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, digital, we all know. We're preachers and converted. Everyone knows. Digital is where you test. It's where you learn. And a bit like you were saying where, you know, that digital journey is never finished, I don't think a brand journey is necessarily finished either. There are core principles of who you are that will not change. Let's be honest. If you're changing them every 5 minutes, who are you as a brand? So there are key principles that won't change. But actually, how you execute that brand, how you take that to market, how you engage audiences, we can learn what's working through digital data, through digital platforms. And what I'm really keen on doing is going, actually, you know, I'm not a brand guardian. I'm not keeping that brand book. Everyone owns our brand and everyone is experimenting with it. And actually, if our digital teams are experimenting with it and learning what's working, I want to know, as like the brand strategist, I want to know that, because actually, where can our channels, where can our visual identity be flexing a bit more? Because actually, we know a certain audience is a bit more open to it. So, for example, Instagram is really good for a growth audience, which we're targeting at the moment. So this is an audience which are unaffected by Parkinson's, but we know that they're coming to Instagram. We've attracted them to Instagram. So we know Instagram is the place where we can really push the visual identity and our tone of voice. We can push that a little bit further. We can push our content a little bit further. So, yeah, I think for me, it's just having that feedback loop from the brand is never static. The brand is always alive on digital channels, but let's have that feedback loop so actually one can influence the other.
And so that's your Instagram strategy. Do you have a different? Do you do different things on different social media channels?
I think similar to Kelly, we've learned what works on the different channels. So we know our core Parkinson's community who are living with the condition, the messaging that they need. And where they are on Facebook, they need slightly more delicate messaging. So yes, of course, we are here for the cure, and we are closer than we ever have been, but that doesn't mean the cure is around the corner. Our core brand is still based on we're here for the cure, and until then, we'll be here for people with Parkinson's. Now, how we have to weigh up that messaging on Instagram versus Facebook, we've got to be careful with how we're saying, you know, we're close to breakthroughs, get behind us, because they're like, we've been hearing this for a couple of years, where is it? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you just learn how to use your core brand, but you know which parts which you play up and play down or just need to frame for the audiences.
Mm-hmm. Is that your experience, Colette?
Yeah, I would agree. I think beyond sort of maybe messaging, one of my experiences, and this is before Brand By Me, but it's really stuck with me. So when I worked at World Animal Protection, we did a major global rebrand. We used to be WSPA or Whisper. So we did a major global rebrand, and we fundamentally sort of shifted our role as an organisation in the wider animal welfare movement. And at the same time, therefore, the brand necessitated us to do, a major digital shift. We had to, and frankly, all of our digital infrastructure was just falling to pieces in any case, so we needed to do a big thing. One of the brilliant things that integrating our brand and digital strategy allowed us to do was at a kind of purpose level. So our purpose at that point, I don't know if it was still the same for the organisation, was we move the world to protect animals. So we move the world, moves about a tangible shift and emotionally connecting with people to protect animals. What we did from a digital point of view, it helped us look at actually how can we use our digital platforms and emerging technologies to deliver that purpose. And it opened up some very, very brilliant conversations, but also opportunities by working with some of the big sort of tech brands. So we did a lot of work with Google around search and looked at actually what can we do here to move the world to protect animals. And using that as a lens really helped us sort of, I guess, push the organization beyond use Seeing Digital very much just as a broadcast and comms tool to actually looking at how it was integral to delivering our purpose. So that became a very interesting fusion of brand and digital strategy, if that makes sense. It was kind of one level up, taking it out of just being seen as a comms team and looking at how we deliver the fundamental purpose of the organisation. And in line with that sort of testing and learning, we knew that as an organisation, we needed to shift that perception and embed that role of us really, really quickly. And some of the digital activities we did right at the beginning were a brilliant opportunity for us to cement our role as being this global change maker in animal welfare, whereas before we'd been seen quite differently. So I guess from a brand point of view, it allowed us to really do very different sort of big things quickly that sort of moved everybody on in terms of perception. That was by having an integrated brand and digital strategy, and also an integrated brand and digital team that kind of reported into me. It's really helpful if the brand and digital teams sit under one person. It kind of helps.
Well, that's a really good point that it doesn't sit in a separate room and with separate people.
I will caveat that it is helpful depending on the organisation and depending on the skill set and the persons within the team. And when I'm saying that, I'm from a brand background, but equally, I think there are organisations where a digital transformation director has brand teams sitting into it. I think either can work really well. I think either can work really well, but it's really good to work on integrating those teams. It helps massively.
Now, let's talk about mistakes. I mean, the thing about experimenting is sometimes it doesn't work. And I think we always talk about successes. And I don't know how honest you want to be just before lunch on a Thursday. But it would be really great to hear about some of the things that haven't worked. I don't know who wants to go first.
I'm happy to go first. So in a previous role, I worked for a charity. We did a full rebrand and actually didn't integrate digital into everything that we did. And the main challenge and maybe where we fell down was we had this beautiful, visual, gorgeous visual brand, and that translated amazingly well to all of our printed documents and things like that. But actually, once we took it to our website, we built a new website, which was also really beautiful, but actually some of the elements of the brand that we created just didn't work digitally. And it was a big lesson learned, because actually then we had to go back, and this comes back to flexing your brand and changing things if you need to. What it was that we'd produced some gorgeous, they were brain scans that were multi-coloured, and actually they just didn't translate as well as we'd wanted. So we had to really pare that back from our website and make it much clearer and not have all these millions of colours. And the logo was the same. We had a lot of colour in the logo, which actually did translate fine for digital. It looks great across the social channels and things like that, but actually we had to learn from that quite quickly. This really doesn't work for digital, and I've taken that learning into my current role, because what we did with this one was really just think about these changes that we want to make to our brand have to be for digital, because actually one of the things that we're really doing as well, and again this comes back to working in a fairly small charity, we're really cutting back on things that we're printing. So for example, we used to print 12,000 of our newsletters twice a year, and we've literally just stopped that, and we're taking our newsletter online. So we needed to make sure the changes that we were making to the visual identity worked across that as well. So that was a big lesson learned.
Sarah?
So we recently went through a bit of a brand refresh. So it wasn't a total rebrand. It was taking stuff that really worked for our brand already, but then actually making it more digitally savvy. So actually at the heart of the rebrand. So there was a lot of strategy work that happened, and from the strategy work, we then went into a kind of, I guess, the visual identity, tone of voice, personality piece outside of that. So at that stage, the brief was very much, this has to be a digital first brand. How many times have we used that word and it doesn't quite work in practice? So digital first brand, we will do this. We had a digital person on our working group, and everything seemed good. I mean, we were doing it at pace, we were doing it with very little money, you know. It wasn't perfect, but it was good. And we knew that we were going to have to iterate this. So everything on paper seemed to actually be working fine, and we thought actually the executions are working fine. from a digital standpoint, and then we took it into sort of the live environment, and then we suddenly went, oh my God, this looks awful on a screen. this is this zingy colour that we want. This isn't working. And actually, is it accessible? I mean, there had been some accessibility testing done before, but there was just suddenly all of these snags that came out that you just don't know until you're in a live environment. So actually, I'm really pleased with how we managed it. So yeah, it wasn't perfect, but we iterated. And I think our big learnings out of this was, as we were developing it, mainly because we were doing it really fast, we actually said very openly to the organisation, this is not going to be perfect. As soon as we get into live environment, we're okay to adapt, we're okay to change, because actually we're learning, we're iterating, and we're working with our digital, in the digital environment in which we live, to make sure we are a digitally adapting brand. So.
And I think that's a really good point, actually, that to be honest with the organisation itself, internally, you know, we're going to change. We don't know.
I would agree. The thing I would say is, having been on both sides, nothing is ever going to go perfect. Mm. There will be errors. Mm-hmm. There will be huge things that you get into live and realise and be going, oh my God.
Broken links.
It's really loads of things. And then going, actually, it's really important to set the expectation that not everything will work, and we know that, and we're ready for it. Mm-hmm. I've got, I guess, two examples of stuff that went wrong, because one is conceptual and then one is very practical. When I was at World Armed Protection, so we'd done some of the core brand thinking, we'd got the core logo and we got a bit of the core brand down. And we also, as I said, we had this purpose, we moved the world to protect animals. When we were then looking to develop our digital strategy, and particularly look at what this meant maybe for our social media and our digital engagement, when we took this, and you know, as the brand, I took this to my in-house team, my content editor, and a couple of the other team in the agencies. People just sat there, and we were like, we're really excited by this purpose. We move the world to protect animals. We love this personality. And people just looked at us blankly, and I was like, okay, I mean, we really like this. The purpose and personality are really strong. And people were like, just sort of sat there. And I was like, and no one understood. They were like, we really like it. We don't understand how we're going to be able to implement this purpose or this tone of, we just don't understand what to do with it. And we sat there in this stalemate for like, maybe, I don't know, we sat there in a couple of meetings just in this stalemate. No one knew how to use it. And the thing that we realised we were missing, which was that, which was what was said in the previous panel, was a set of some really clear sort of digital principles that took the brand and really looked at what it meant. And so we did an audit of what other brands in this space had done. We came across, obviously, they're now legendary, but the gov.uk UX principles, when they were new at this point, we came across them and we were like, what we need is UX principles. This is what will help. And actually, they really did. We ended up with six UX principles that came off the brand. And suddenly, all of a sudden, people were like, now I can take this and make it real.
Yeah. I think this is a really good... Go and get those government gateway principles, because they are a really good checklist in terms of what to think
and
about.
It's really good. Yeah. And also then looking at... We were able to use those. Obviously, we didn't just take those, though. We looked at it and we linked it back to our brand. So we really looked at, okay, what does this mean in terms of our purpose? So it was really good, because you've got that rigor and you've got really good things that already exist, but you've used the brand as a lens, and that was a really good learning opportunity for me, because sometimes, as a strategist, I know this, brand can seem conceptual to the outside world, and stuff that you develop in a room that you're all really happy with and you've got there, people are just like, don't understand what this means. Yeah. So then it's important not to say, well, you know, you're all idiots, go away. It's actually really important to go, okay, if everybody's not understanding this, there's got to be something here, and go back to it. And I think that willingness to be able to go back, revisit and accept feedback and make sure you're putting this out early enough so that everything is not locked down. Yeah. The other area where... we as brand people, and particularly agencies, you'll find frequently fall down, is accessibility. Frequently fall down. And I will say that as a brand agency, it's something we're very aware of now. It's something we're very aware of now. But when I first started working and having Brand By Me, and we started working with our designers, it was something we really had to get our designers to properly think about. And sometimes you get colours and just fonts and combinations that just will not work. And again, you know, it's accepting that things aren't always going to work. so then you go back and go, okay, so we're not going to be wedded to that specific Pantone or that specific font. We're going to have a version of this that is going to work then for us, a significant part of our audiences. So again, being flexible and making sure that you get that feedback early enough so you've not spent loads of money buying a bespoke font that isn't going to work. Mm-hmm. That sort of thing is really important.
I've got more questions, but I want to give everybody an opportunity to ask questions. So we have a mic, which we could turn around, I guess, the other way. And if you do want to ask a question, can you walk up to the mic? This is the new and improved new normal thing, is what we're going to call it now. And just line up. We're doing the supermarket checkout version of questions, because then we can get. And if you can give your name and the organization you work for, that would be brilliant.
Ooh, very a bit short.
Apologising already.
I'm Alice from the World Wildlife Fund. This is fantastic, really, really useful and helpful information. I had quite a specific question for Kelly about using Facebook for fundraising, because I know that Facebook is very much a pay-to-play platform now, and we've certainly seen a massive drop in organic growth.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering what sort of ratio of organic to paid you have.
That's a very good question.
Yeah. So organic is 99.9% of our activity. We did a campaign at Christmas, a Christmas fundraising campaign, and it was the first time we'd actually done any paid social. It was really successful, which I was like, oh, damn. But our organic was actually still quite good as well. But for us, we don't have the budgets to spend very much, but it is something that we're going to do a bit more of and a bit more testing, actually, because, I think, so for our Christmas campaign, our Christmas campaign, we ended up with about 900 new likes just from a week of paid. I think it cost something like £271 altogether or something like that. So actually, not bad. You've got almost 1,000 new people that you can talk to who are following you that you didn't have before. So actually, I think it's pretty good value.
What about you, Zora? Do you do paid media across social media?
Yeah, we do. We do. And because we've got like quite a portfolio of like fundraising events, so I don't even know what our organic to paid spend is, but I know from a brand point of view, so our core brand marketing budget, which we've only just got in fairness, first time round was last year, it was mainly digital because it's, you know, you can be very targeted and
sorry, does that answer your question?
My name's Tanis. I'm from the Volunteer Network. We're like a small charity that work in the Southwest. And basically, there's about 4.5 of us, and none of us are full-time. For the last kind of 12 months, I've been working on the digital side, which is a massive uphill struggle because it's been going for 20 years and everyone's set in their own ways. But what kind of advice do you guys give about finding people who are knowledgeable in that area, who might be able to come in and help, whether that's trustees or employees or volunteers or whatever?
Anyone, really.
Yeah, anyone and everyone.
Colette, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, I think how good is your connection with your... Okay, so my honest answer is going to be put it out to your networks. Yeah. Put it out and get everybody, even if there's four of you, everyone put it out to their networks and get them to put it out to their networks and say, and be really clear about a brief for the skill set and what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. That's what... As far as small organisations, and I'm not including my own agency in this, but when we work with really small charities, that's always what we do. Yeah. It's just put it out there, but be really specific. Not, hey, we look for digital help, because you'll get everything back, but really clear, we're looking to bring together a passionate group of people who can do this and help us do this. And so please share, spread that sort of thing wide. And we found, so again, I'm one of my clients was a very small and local youth homeless charity, and they had a lot of success in doing that. Whereas before, I said they'd made the mistake. That's hard to say. They'd put all of their digital eggs in one basket, meaning one volunteer. Mm-hmm. And actually, unfortunately, that guy was unavailable. And then they had to very quickly get a team of people together to continue their digital transformation. And so that's what they did. That's my advice. I mean, it sounds really simple. Oh, the other thing is, so there are. I would also put it out through charity-specific networks as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's, and I've now forgotten it. So if you find me afterwards, I'll give you the name of it because I just found out about it. But there's a charity online sort of discussion platform that I came on that's really good for kind of smaller charities. Somebody also mentioned the small. Sorry, I'm looking at you. Small Charity Coalition as well that has all those sort of resources as well. Sorry, I was looking at you because I remember from the previous panel. So there are lots, I think, galvanise the power of networks and be very specific with the ask.
Yeah, and obviously subscribe to the Charity Digital newsletter.
Could I take this off?
Yes, pure, you know, sanitising everything afterwards. Yeah, of course you can.
There we go. Hi, I hope you guys are doing well. Thanks for coming. My name is Colvin. I'm from a charity called Better in Education. What I wanted to find out is that we're a really micro charity and we want to generate as much publicity so we get as much attention as possible. What small hacks are there, do you think, that we could do? And also, in terms of quick wins, what do you think are the quick wins which are realistic for us to be able to actually achieve? Because I think for us, we struggle with identifying what is the actual quick wins and also the quick hacks as well.
Yeah. I love that. Hacks, yeah. Actually. I think that's great. Hacks, quick wins, some of the events, just to get your that momentum going as you start with limited resources.
The big thing for me, like when you're saying there's probably like lots and lots of different quick wins, and I think the first thing you've got to do is be able to identify which one of those wins are going to have the biggest impact, because actually what's really great about digital is also the thing that could trip us up. Oh my God, there's so many different things that we can do. Oh my God, we're going to get all these learnings. But actually, if you're then able to identify whatever this hack is that you find, what is that one that you're really going to put some focused attention on that's going to make the biggest impact? So if there's a way that you can maybe forecast the impact of like the different opportunities, I would say that would help narrow down which one you want to go to. So that was just my first.
Or maybe your strategic priorities. Is it fundraising?
I think that's kind of what I was thinking, like which one's going to make the biggest strategic difference to the people that you work with.
Yeah.
So that's more about identifying the opportunity or the problem, but in terms of specific hacks.
Yeah. You said about specifically about getting yours was about your objective was to get your name out there and is that right? And publicity. And if this sounds really obvious, but again, identify in your networks people that have very, very big reach, individuals or organisations that have much bigger reach than you and are willing to partner with you and spread the word for you. Mm-hmm. So a brilliant example of it I've seen quite recently. There's a movement called 56 Black Men, and it's all about changing perception of black men in the media. That has gained loads of visibility and traction because the founder, Kephas Williams, partnered with a few like-minded organisations and people in corporate space who really love what he was doing, and they really amplified his message very quickly. And so I would say the same thing.
Let's find a champion.
Yeah, find some champions. So do some, even if you do some network mapping. It sounds really much more technical than it is. It's basically around, okay, who shares our passion for our cause? Who might be interested in the public domain? How can we reach out to them? Who do we know that does this? And go out to those people and say, actually, we really want to get our name out there for this. Can you help us spread the word? Have you got ideas for how we can do that? And spread that way. That's one of my first hacks, I would say, and works particularly well. Particularly if you have a sort of ethos, if you have a really strong or clear purpose of the charity that people can really sort of hang on to. If that makes sense. Sorry.
I think the other really key thing is harness the core audience that you already have. So use your social channels and your core target audience that you know are already engaged with you. And you could come up with a really simple campaign, some really simple messages that you want to get out and really harness them and get them to share your message with their networks. I think that's another one.
Yeah, I do wonder actually if you could even do like some we're trying to do a bit more co-creation, but with these people that are almost like advocates already to your brand.
Yeah.
I wonder if you do some co-creation and go
what
like.
What do you mean by co-creation?
So it's almost like getting a few people in a room and just saying, look, our objective is to get the brand out there, the name out there, the issue out there. What are the ways that we can use the power of this network here to create something that we can then take further? So you're using the power of a bit like Colette saying with professional networks. But Kelly, I think what you're saying is almost the advocates that you already have. that are
fans.
Yeah, the people who
are your fans as your marketing machine.
Yeah, so I wonder if there's people you can speak to.
Or your, I don't know, because you said it was education you work in, isn't it?
Education.
So if you work with a really brilliant way, and we did this, even at Bernardo's, is to engage our young people in coming up with ideas for us as well, and looking at how we can do that and running things like that. Because also people really love that in terms of, and this is not cynical at all, because I also really love that, in terms of you're engaging the people that you work with and help in the very mechanics and behind the scenes. Obviously, sometimes for charities, we want to keep them separate, but I think that can work. That can work really well.
Can we please give them a very big round of applause? Thank you very much.